I know that this might be a rule that some of you are going to scratch your heads and go, Cooper, you've never met my customers. But you really need to believe this. If you want to look at your customers, all that you need to do is look in a mirror. You know that we are them. You know that, right? We're a cross-section of America, aren't we? You can't argue that point. Most people that are out there, and don't laugh at me when I tell you this, they're good people. They really are. They're caring people. And when they call your service center and they sense that you're rushed, they want to get off the phone. They do. You know why? Because they're good, caring people. They don't want to bump into your world. If it sounds like you're too busy to take their call, if you're jamming 1,000 miles an hour, they're just going to go away. It's not that they're being rude to you or wouldn't want to give you the opportunity to help them with their car. But Mom used to teach them that. You don't bother people when they're really busy and involved in something. So when they sense these things going on in your voice and your tonality, that you're going 1,000 miles an hour, they're going to cut the conversation short. You'll never be able to make it through the sales cycle. You'll never be able to convert them into a customer. So please, and we'll show you as the course unfolds today how you can reach those goals. But you have to understand that it's important that you slow down, take a couple deep breaths, put a smile on your face, please, and properly introduce yourself. Now when you do that, you need to give them the name of your company, a greeting like good morning, good afternoon, and ask, how can I help you, correct?
And who you are.
Wait a minute, Bob, what did you just say?
And who you are.
It's none of their business. Wait a minute, you guys laugh at me. Good morning, Elite Auto Repair, how can I help you? I don't have to give my name, right?
Wrong.
Yes, sir, we got a couple hands, one in the back. Why didn't you remind me of that? Oh, thanks, pal. Hey, wake up. What's step number one in the sales cycle?
Establish rapport.
Yeah, now you remember.
Yes.
So step number one is what? Build rapport. Do people do business with businesses? Do people do business with businesses?
No.
They do business with?
People.
Do employees come to work for companies?
No.
They come to work for?
People.
Do they leave companies? Or do they leave?
Well, people.
They leave people, right?
Right?
You're in the people business. And what you need to do is connect with people. When that caller calls in on the phone, you need to give them your name. You need to let them know that it's not a company that they're calling, it's an individual that they're calling. They need to know it's Eddie or it's Mark or it's Matt that they're speaking with. Don't you agree to that? I know often when I call different businesses, certainly in the auto repair industry, and when someone doesn't offer their name and I ask their name, it's amazing the response. When I say, may I ask who I'm speaking with, it's almost like they're taken back. And there's like a pause. And the emotional triggers are pulling to my mind, I wouldn't do business with you if you were giving me $20 bills for $5 a piece. Because something is wrong. Why are you afraid of giving me your name? Do you understand what I'm talking about? We see that. And I've even had people when I would say, may I ask who I'm speaking with? They go, why do you want to know my name? And I'll say, you know, are you afraid of somebody calling? Is the FBI looking for you or what's going on here?
But you get an emotional trigger by asking.
Yeah, absolutely. So the important point that I'm trying to make here before we conclude on build rapport is it's important that you smile. You know that, don't you? Right? And it's important that you properly introduce yourself. You need to slow down the cadence. When you pick up that phone, you need to take a couple deep breaths. And the last one on the list, it says, by listening intently and taking good notes. Keith, one last question, then we take the break. How can a customer, the caller, tell that you're taking notes when you're on the phone?
When you repeat back what they've told you.
Give me an example.
Well, if a customer calls up and tells me they have a 1990 Chevrolet, and I repeat it back, okay, a 1990 Chevrolet.
Do you think that builds rapport? Yes? Does it make the caller feel more comfortable when you're repeating it back?
Sure, they know you're listening to them.
They're listening, right? Are they listening to you when you're repeating it back to them?
Yeah.
You bet they are. And does that slow the conversation down? Yes, it does. Does it build rapport? Yes, it does. Does it send a message to them that you really want to make sure that there's no error? Yes, it does. Does it make them feel more comfortable? Yes, it does. You don't have any choice. When you pick up the phone, you need to ask questions, and certainly you need to take good notes. All right, let's go back to the workbook then, and we're going to look at step number two in the sales cycle, fact-finding over the telephone. Because the only way we can fact-find over the phone is by asking
questions
and then
listening.
Do you agree to that?
Yes.
All right, you bet. So you have to ask questions over the phone. Questions, 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 questions. And then listen, 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 listen. 100 and 2300, write that down, please. $120,300. Now, you're probably wondering, what in the world does that mean? You'll leave this course and you'll go back and you'll never know, because should I tell them what it means?
I think so.
All right, I'll tell you what it means. The average person speaks 120 words a minute. Your auditory ability is to listen to 300 words a minute. That's why most people don't listen too well. They not only have not taken any courses in listening, but you can out-listen people all day long. You really can. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it's real easy for your mind to get ahead of the speaker. It's real easy when you're talking to a customer for you to jump ahead of them, because you have the ability to process the information a lot faster than the person speaking to you can give it to you. So listening skills are something that we all have to work really, really, really hard at. The better listener you become, the better salesperson you will become. All great salespeople have one attribute. They have the ability to listen to people. They really do. It's how you fact find. It's how you build rapport. It's how you do a lot of wonderful things in sales. So what we're asking you to do is, in step number two, is ask a lot of questions and then close your mouth and listen to the customer. And taking a page out of tomorrow just for a moment, one of the things that I found in writing service years ago is I would ask a customer exactly what the car is doing, and they would tell me, they'd be across the service counter, they'd tell me, after they were done, after they had finished, they'd stand there and look at me, and you know what I'd do? I'd stand there and look at them, and I wouldn't say nothing. And they probably thought that I died. But they would look at me like, all right, Cooper, are you awake? But I would be quiet. The reason that I did that was this. It was amazing how many times after they were finished, they would look at me, and then 3 or 4 or 5 seconds of silence would go by, and then they'd jump back into the dialogue again. Oh, you know, as a matter of fact, my wife also said that it's bingo, and here we go. Do you see what we're doing here? So give customers the opportunity to share information with you, number one. Number two, if a customer is giving you information, and if you're not listening like you should, and if you jump into the dialogue, what are you telling them? Pardon me? You're not interested. Your time is too valuable to listen to your caller. Your time is too valuable to listen to the customer. It's the best investment you can ever make in sales is by learning how to listen to people. So step number two, fact finding over the phone, ask questions and listen. And then Keith, what's the next one? It says take
control of the conversation.
Important to do that?
Critically important to do that.
Wait a minute, you're telling me to control the caller?
Yes, I am.
Wait a minute, Dorothy Colsey, Lead Auto Repair, you're telling me to control the conversation?
Yes.
She's the customer, the caller.
All the more reason why you should control the conversation.
You know Dorothy?
Well, you see, Bob, I do know Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And what I do know about her is that as a customer, she needs help. And as the professional, just like a doctor, it's up to me to make sure she gets the best help available. The best way for me to do that is by taking control of the conversation, because out of the two of us, I'm the one that is the most suited to help her.
Do you all agree with him? Do you think great doctors take control of the conversation? That's a yes or no, multiple choice. Yes, they do. Great salespeople control the conversation too. There's one way that you can control a conversation, not sometimes all the time, by asking questions. Questions allow you to control the conversation, not sometimes all the time. You could always walk into a sales environment, you quickly figure out who's selling and who's buying, as we say, by listening to who's asking the questions. You see, when you ask questions, there's a lot of wonderful things that happen in sales. The first thing that happens is you start to build rapport. When you ask questions of a customer, they start to feel comfortable with you because you're fact-finding from them, right? You agree with me so far? There's something else that happens. Your mind, the brain cells that the good Lord gave you, they're binary. They're all like a little electrical switches, these little neural transmitters. Let me tell you what they do, and let me tell you what they can't do. Number one, I believe that they do a remarkable job with everyone except teenagers in understanding, I really do. I believe that the brain has the ability to accomplish a lot of wonderful tasks. Now, with all of that said, let me tell you one thing. And if you question this, talk to any psychologist, psychiatrist, talk to any physician in essence, and ask them if there's truth to this. There's one thing that the human brain does not have the ability to do. Formulate two answers consciously at the same time. Can't do it. Can't do it. There's no one in this room that could add up two sets of numbers simultaneously. I didn't say one right after the other. You could do that. I said simultaneously. You can't do that. Because the way these neural transmitters work, they click like little switches. They're either on or off. Sort of like a computer. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's either processing information or it's not processing information. It's doing one or the other. When you ask a caller questions, what you're doing is controlling the conversations. Well, Keith, let me ask you this. How long has it been doing this?
Yeah, a couple of weeks now.
Now, as soon as he goes through that thought process, oh, let me think, oh my gosh, let's see, it's been a couple weeks. What he can't do, and I'm choosing my words, what he can't do is form questions for me. Doesn't have the ability to do it. Doesn't have the ability to do it. So the way you control a conversation on the telephone is the same way that you do it in person with someone. You do it through questions. All great lawyers do it. All great detectives do it. All great salespeople do it. So when you pick up that phone, be prepared to do a lot of different things. Certainly smile, answer the phone properly. Make sure that you have a pen or a pencil in hand. Make sure you have paper in hand. And ask a lot of questions. Listen intently and take notes. Would you do that for me? You'll be surprised at the results that you'll get from doing that. You'll be absolutely amazed. Hey, take a look at the next page. Keith, any comments on that or no?
Nope.
None? Okay, on to the next page. Step number three, identify the need. Keith, help me out here. It says the only way I can identify the need over the phone is by having asked a series of questions. Is that true?
That's true.
Good detectives do that?
Great detectives do it. Great doctors do it.
Good lawyers?
Good lawyers do it.
Is there such a thing as a good lawyer? We better move on. It says by... If not, we'll get sued, right? By analyzing all of the information that we've gathered. Is that important?
Yes, it is.
Now, one of the other fundamental flaws that we see in the industry very often, and this is something that we could spend the rest of this course talking about, and we're not going to do it. We're from the school that says, please, do your customers a service. Do what great doctors do. Don't diagnose over the telephone. Please? And typically, what most service writers have hearts that are bigger than that overhead screen. There's no argument to that. They really do. Most service writers that I've met, most shop owners, really do care about their customers. They really do. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And they believe what they're doing is, by trying to diagnose over the phone, they believe what they're doing is helping a customer. What they're doing is putting a customer in quicksand. They're giving them information that could be, I didn't say is, that could be flawed. That's not how you help people. Great doctors know that that's how you get in trouble. I'm not talking about lawsuits, I'm talking about losing patients, people dying, by giving them misleading information. So do me a favor, understand this principle. I don't know how many makes and models we have out there today, but I'm sure it's hundreds, probably over 1,000 by now, different makes and models of automobiles. And you know what? They change every single year, don't they? Physicians have one make, two models. You can't argue the point. You can't argue that. And you know what? They haven't changed since the beginning of time. All the parts are still pretty much in the same place that they were at the beginning of time. So my argument is if someone calls a physician, a physician goes, you know what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to guess. There's a good reason for that. Do you follow me? Because they took an oath to help people. So the point that I'm trying to make is you need to take that same kind of an oath, don't you? Don't diagnose over the phone. Does that mean some customer is going to, or caller is going to get upset with you because you're not guessing? Are you going to lose some callers? That's called life. I'd rather have you lose the caller and not harm the caller than harm the caller and get them into your shop. Do you understand the differences in the two? You know, you got to put people first, don't you? Right? So, never attempt to diagnose over the phone. It's not helping people. It's really harming them. By the way, we're not saying that if a caller calls and says, how much is your oil service, or something like that, something that's on the menu, of course, you can offer them the price on that. We'll talk about that this afternoon. The point that I'm trying to make is, gee, what do you think the problem could be? That kind of guy or gal. Those are the ones you get in trouble with. Yes, sir.
If they call JJ? With like, oh, I have my light on my dash, you know, what do you think that could be? Do you just, you know, claim pure ignorance to the thing and we need to bring it in? If it's something
that's,
you know.
JJ, we're going to move on, but I'm going to answer your question with a question. What all great doctors do? What all great doctors, lawyers, and salespeople do?
Ask a question.
Voila. So think about that. We'll talk about it after lunch. Just think about your question, then think about my question to you. Hey, we got to move on. Step number four. It says the only way it can identify the solutions for the caller is by quickly knowing what we can offer. Is that important?
Yes, it is. You don't want to be stopping and hesitating on, you know, what to do next, because then you'll drop the process of establishing rapport and following that sales cycle. So it needs to be smooth, it needs to be from your heart, and you need to know quickly how you can best help that customer.
So are you telling me that if Tom calls, when you're saying, like the medicines that we looked at up here earlier, the different ways that we can help him solve his problems, the benefits that we can offer, are you telling me that I need to know those by heart?
You should know the basic ones by heart, yes.
Absolutely. Are you telling me I need to know my towing policies and inspection policies by heart?
Yes.
Are you telling me that I need to know exactly what models we work on and what we don't work on by heart?
Yes, you
should.
Is
that what you're telling me?
Yes.
So what kind of emotional triggers are being pulled if Tom calls my service center, and I'm relatively new with the company, and he asked me if I work on Saabs, and I say, hold the line one moment. Hey, Keith, do we work on Saabs? What kind of trigger am I pulling in his mind?
They don't work on
Saabs. We don't work on Saabs. What else am I telling him?
We don't know what
we do. So what you're really dealing with right now, Tom, at this point, is an incompetent person. You really are. You're dealing with someone that is not competent enough to help you with a simple question. So like Jim said so well, we don't work on Saabs, or at least not to my awareness. That's not what you need to hear. You need to hear a definitive answer. Yes, sir, we sure do, and we have been since 1941, or whatever it is. We're the world's leading provider of service for Saabs, right? So you need to have this information lined up here. And the same is true with your towing. Don't become a negotiator with towing. We'll look at this as we move through this course. But you need to know what your towing policies are and what they aren't. Can you tow my car in? How much will it cost? Hold the line, please. Hey, Keith, how much would it cost to tow a car in from over by Elm Street? Do you see the message that I'm sending the caller at this point? We've never towed a car from over by Elm Street. Who wants to deal with that company, correct? So when you pick up that phone, you need to know, doctor, exactly what you can do and exactly what you can't do. You need to have those committed to memory. If you do, you'll be a winner. Hey, we got to move forward. On to the next page. Page 4. Step 5. It says, building interest and value. The best way of building interest and value over the phone is by painting, what's the fill in the blanks, Keith?
By painting mental pictures.
Excuse me?
Painting mental pictures. The things that when you read a book that has no pictures in it that you do in your mind, I hope you understand that is such a natural process that people go through. Remember the UCLA study, 55% of sales is visual input? When you paint a mental picture, you help the customer make that visual input. Although it might not be with their physical eyes, it's now in their mind, and that's helping you in the sales process. So the best way to build interest and value is help the customer to paint mental pictures in their mind. You be the book that helps the customer see the mental picture that they're reading. It's a very natural process. It's a very comfortable process for people, and it will help you get the person to see what you're trying to communicate to them. Painting mental pictures, that's critically important.
Do y'all agree with him? One of the rules that I asked you to abide by earlier, and hopefully you're going to do it for the rest of this course, hopefully you've done it so far, is keep an open mind. Remember that rule? When you hear someone speak to you, those words mean nothing in your mind. They're all processed. They really are. And they're converted into images, mental images. They really are. When you hear words of snowflakes, you don't take that word and put it in your mind and understand it. You process that. You really do. You really are a visual creature, and you have to accept that. So when you tell a customer this or that or this or that, when you just purvey these words to customers, they mean nothing until they're processed into images. Now, anyone that is in the marketing world, anyone in the advertising arena, is very clear that the key to successful advertising is being able to take the concepts of beliefs and what the seller of the product or service is offering, put it into electronic media, put it into print media, put it into whatever kind of media, and then when Dorothy gets the media and looks at it, reads it, hears it, whatever it is, that you get, and every media company knows that this is true, you get a pretty darn close picture, Dorothy, to exactly the message that he's sending. And to this day, there's never been a media company that's been able to give a 100% transfer. It just can't happen. So what I'm suggesting to all of you is that when you tell customers about your products or services, they're going to paint their own mental pictures. Now, why in the world do you want to put a brush in somebody's hand? Why do you want to do that? Why do you want them drawing their own reasoning as to what it's going to be like when you're done with their automobile? Shouldn't you be the person that's painting the picture for them? Helping them understand what they're getting? Let me give you an example if I could, all right? Here's a real quick lopsided role play. Watch painting the mental pictures. Be the tough guy. Could you do that?
All right.
I could bring it in now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you, Keith?
I don't know, Bob. I mean, you know, I just kind of want to find out what's wrong with the car so I know.
Well, I'm sure it's important, Keith, to find out exactly what's wrong with the car, and the best place to start is with the inspection. As I mentioned earlier, it's no charge. It's free, Keith. So the most that we're talking about is your time. Now, I could scoot you in now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you?
Well, I mean, can't you just give me a ballpark on what your average brake job costs? I mean...
Well, Keith, by guessing, I could be as wrong as I could be right, and certainly that wouldn't be doing a service for you at all. You know, again, for your benefit, there's absolutely no charge for the inspection, Keith, so we're talking about 20, 25 minutes of your time. Again, we can complete it now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you?
Well, I don't know, Bob. I'm just calling around trying to get some information so I can gather the facts and make the decisions that I need to make.
Well, Keith, let me tell you exactly what I can do for you. If you'd like to go ahead and bring your car in either now or 2 o'clock this afternoon, there's 2 things that I could do for you. Not only can I go ahead and complete the brake inspection for you while you wait, but as soon as we're done with that inspection, what I'll do is I'll give you a bank check drawn on the Bank of America for $75,000. Mental picture stuff, huh? Keith, would you like to bring it in now?
I'll be right down.
All right, so now he's got this mental picture of this check. So what I realized in the auto repair business, I said, wait a minute, now I know what I'm doing wrong. Now I know what I'm doing wrong. I just told him about bringing his car in now for an inspection, and he said, no, he doesn't want to do it. He objected. And then I went back and reoffered, and he objected again. Well, wait a minute, that should be a wake-up call for me. He doesn't see the value, does he? He doesn't see the value. Remember step number 5, building interest and value? Remember that one? He doesn't see the value. And because I haven't painted a mental picture. So one day, and I don't know how many years ago this was, but I was really frustrated. I had a couple of these guys in a row. You all have had those days before, I know. I had a couple of these guys in a row. And I thought, wait a minute. We have a great service, not a good service here. And I've offered this guy an inspection 3 times, and a guy before him 3 times, and a guy before him, and none of them have made an appointment. Don't these guys understand what we're doing? And then the lights went on. I thought, wait a minute. They don't know what I'm talking about. I'm uttering all of these words and they're not putting them together in their mind the way I'd like them to put them together. So I tried it differently, and this is what I did. Now, this was in the transmission business, so all of you in that industry could understand where this is going to go. Well, Keith, let me tell you exactly what we can do. First of all, when you bring your car in, the first thing that I'd like to do is check the fluid level and take a look at the condition of the fluid. And then I'd like to check a number of different things underneath the hood. As soon as I'm done with that, I'd like you and I to go on a test drive. Frankly, I'd like to experience exactly what you're talking about. I want to hear these noises that you're talking about. Now, when we get back to the service center, what I'd like to do is turn your car over to Jerry. Now, Jerry's an ASC Master Certified Technician. He's been with us for 12 years. He's very good at what he does. And what he'll do is a number of different things. The first thing that he'll do is he'll put it up on the hoist, and he'll check this and 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 this. And then as soon as he's done with that, what he'll do is he'll give us a report that tells us what, if anything at all, needs to be done to your transmission. And frankly, Keith, if there are things that need to be done, what we'll do at that point, I'll explain all of the different options that are available to you and answer any questions that you have. And you know, as soon as I started doing that, you know what would happen? I would get right to that last closing comment, and you know what the customers would always say? How much is all of that going to cost? And as soon as they said that, now I realized, what do they see? They see the value. They go, now I see what I'm getting. Do you understand the differences in two? By painting the metal pictures. They closed their eyes and they saw him and me going on a test drive. They saw me underneath checking his oil, things that he didn't know how to do. They saw the technician actually inspecting your car in their mind's eye. Do you understand what I'm doing? Do you follow me? And then all of a sudden, they would come in. So when you ask for the business, please understand that you have to first build interest and value. And the only way that I've ever found that you could do that in business is by painting mental pictures for customers. Keith, it also says by understanding that every customer wants benefits, not parts and labor. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do. I don't know of any customer yet that went home and told their spouse that they were so happy because they bought a water pump.
Well, do you agree with him? Yes or no? People don't buy electric drills, they buy holes. So you have to understand the customers don't want to buy water pumps from you. They don't, they don't, they don't, they don't. They don't want to buy timing belts and they don't want to buy 30K services. They don't, they don't, they don't, they don't. They want the benefit that they're going to get from whatever they purchase from you. And there's the differences in the two. If you try to sell parts and labor like most of us were taught to do in the auto service industry, you're going to go upside down. because you're going to be fighting the customer all the way. That's all that you're going to be doing. You're going to be setting yourself up for failure. Now, people say, well, Bob, the customers, you know, they're very curious as to, you know, what the parts are. No, they're not. Keep an open mind. You don't have to agree with us. Just don't jump into disagreement. They're not interested in parts and labor. They're interested in two things. How quickly are you going to get their car done? And how much is it going to cost? You can't argue that point. Now, are there some people that, you know, from a technical world are very anxious to learn about mechanical reasoning? Of course. And I know I'm making a broad statement. Let me give you an example if I could, and maybe this will drive it home. Tom, you have a tooth that's been bothering you for the past couple weeks. And you came in to see the dentist, Dr. Bob. And I'm glad that you came by to see me. Tom, this tooth has been bothering you for what, 2 weeks now?
Yes, Bob.
Well, let me tell you what we're going to do. The first thing that we're going to do is, see this syringe here?
Yes, Bob.
What we're going to do is fill this baby up here with some Novocaine. And we're going to put about 8 cc's in there. I'm going to take about 3/8 of an inch at the end of this needle here. Can you see it all right?
Oh, yes.
All right. And I'm going to put it into the exterior of your gum line, about 3/8 of an inch. And I'm going to put about 4 cc's of this Novocaine in right next to the tooth. Then what I'll do is I'll go on the interior side and I'll put about 1/4 of an inch. We have a lot of nerve ending on the interior side. So I'll put it in about 1/4 of an inch and we'll put the balance of the Novocaine in there. Now, Tom, you have to understand that it's going to take probably about 10 minutes for that to kick in. And then when it does, when it's all numbed up, I'm going to take these pliers. See them?
Oh, yes, Bob.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab the crown of the tooth horizontally and take the entire tooth, and I'm going to rotate the entire tooth in the socket approximately 140 degrees. And the reason that we do that is...
Why 140 degrees, Bob?
Well, we found through medical research that 140 degrees is the optimum amount of rotation to shear all the... But you need to know this, Tom. Yeah, you do need to know, Tom. Listen to me. I'm the service writer. Listen to me. The reason that we need to rotate the tooth is it's going to shear all the ligament and blood vessels in your head. You see, there's blood vessels and ligament that actually hold the tooth in place, and I can't get it out without shearing them first. Now, as soon as they're sheared, what I'll do then is I'll take these pliers here, I'll grab the crown of the tooth and extract it. Tom, you have to know, and it's important that you understand, when the tooth comes out, you're going to hemorrhage. You're going to bleed. The ruptured vessels are going to start to pulsate from your heart rate, and your mouth is going to start to get some blood in it. We're going to pack the cavity with cotton, and now I'll give you the best news. I'm going to do all of that to you, and I'm only going to charge you $140. Bill says, that's a cheap price. You'd jump at it, right, Bill? Oh, Lord, what a crowd. So wait a minute. Did I tell Tom anything that was not true? Did I explain everything in detail to him?
Painted a picture.
All right, painted a mental picture. Did I tell him anything that was not true? But everything that I talked about are things that he don't want to hear about.
Surprise,
he's
still
sitting there. Surprise. Do you hear Allie in the back? Yeah. She knows. Yeah, pro salesperson in the back there. All right, Keith, can you do a role play with him?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it a little bit maybe differently than Dr. Bob just did, though?
Certainly.
All right, thanks.
Well, Tom, now how long has this tooth been hurting you?
About 2 weeks, Keith.
2 weeks, huh? Mm. Well, I've got some good news for you, Tom. Been hurting you for 2 weeks, and I can tell you, it's 11:37 now. At 11:45, you're not even going to remember those 2 weeks that you had pain. We're going to solve your problem. And the good news is, it's only $130.
Let's get started.
Hey, you're cheaper than me by $10. Man, price guy, huh? So what did Keith do differently with Tom? What did he do differently with Tom?
He painted a pretty picture.
Painted a pretty picture, right? Do you agree? Did he paint a mental picture? Yes, he did. What else did he do differently than I did?
He said he's going to make you feel better.
Pardon me?
Your value.
He built value, says Jack. What else? Yes, sir.
Solve the problem.
Look, your customers don't want to hear about all of these things that we like to talk about, called PARTSs and labor. They're not interested in it. They really aren't. A lawyer once told me that there's two things in life you never want to watch being made. One is law. You never want to see law being created. And the other thing is sausage. You never want to watch that being made. Why do you want to take your customer through the sausage grinder? Why do you want to tell them about all the things that you know they don't want to hear about? So what I'm asking you to do is focus in on the benefits, not the parts and not the labor. Keith, we're going to do a couple more role plays, and then we'll move through and get these guys working at this, all right?
Okay.
Let's make sure that everybody in this room clearly understands the difference in the product, the feature, and the benefit.
All right.
Because if they don't, it's going to be a rough road, right?
Right.
Okay. This right up here, this screen for the next 10 minutes is going to be a refrigerator. And on the front of the refrigerator, there's an ice maker. And Bob over here is a salesperson that's looking to sell some refrigerators today. Now, mind you, it has an ice maker on the front.
Hi, you work here?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. Here's my business card, Bob Cooper.
Oh, hi,
my
Bob.
Name's written on it. I've only been with the company for a week, but yeah, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm looking at refrigerators. You know,
this is a great man. This is a great. Did you see this in the paper?
Yeah. Now, how much?
This one has been all through the paper. This is our beauty, man. As a matter of fact, we got it on sale this week.
Now, how much is it?
It's $19.95.
Mm.
But look, it's got an ice maker in the door. Look at that. Look at that ice maker.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Tell me about it. Yeah, ice maker. These are terrific.
They are.
Hey,
nice.
Listen to me.
They're
for $19.95,
nice.
You can't go wrong. And it comes with an ice maker. Listen to me. You can go anywhere in San Diego. You can go anywhere in Southern California. You can't find one like this with an ice maker. You can't find it for $19.95. When these are gone, they're gone.
And how many cubic feet
$19.95. Pardon me?
And how many cubic feet is this one?
It's around 13, 14 cubic feet. I'm telling you, you didn't see this in the paper this morning.
No, huh?
I'm surprised, yeah.
Huh? And that's a good deal, $19.95.
Yeah, huh?
Okay, well, let me do this. Let me, I need to go home and talk it over with the wife.
Here, let me give you another one of my business cards. That way you can give it to her. Uh-huh.
Okay, terrific, yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions I can answer for you?
No, huh? It's got an ice maker. You got a great price. $19.95, say it's the best price.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Yep.
Let me go home and talk
okay,
over
well,
the
look, I'll be here tomorrow. I'm fishing, so I'm not going to be in tomorrow. I won't be in, as a matter of fact, the next few days. But
okay.
I'll be in on Saturday from noon until 3. I'll be here Sunday. Do you want me to write this down for you?
No, that's okay, Bob.
But,
you know,
well... You sure?
Yeah, that's fine.
You'll be able to remember that.
I remember. I'll ask
you. Okay, my name's Bob.
I'll ask for you.
You'll remember me.
Yes, I will, huh?
I'm sure you will. All right, thanks. Now, you all have met those kind of salespeople before, haven't you? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Sure you have. If you haven't, go out and buy a refrigerator. You'll see what I'm talking about. All right. Now, what all great detectives do?
Ask questions.
You sure?
Yeah.
What all great lawyers do?
Ask questions.
What all great salespeople do? There's a product, there's a feature, and there's a benefit. The product is a refrigerator. The feature is something that makes it unique, a little bit different than the guy down the street. You know what? People don't want to buy products or features. Believe me, they don't. The benefit is how Bob wins if he has that product with that feature. Too many salespeople try to sell refrigerators. There are some salespeople that try to sell refrigerators because it has a feature. People don't want to buy products, and they don't want to buy features. Matter of fact, people don't want to buy anything. They want to own. Y'all agree with that? Right?
Hello, sir. May I help you?
Hi. Yeah, I got a question for you about this refrigerator.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Looking for a refrigerator today.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yours break down?
No, but it's about ready to go.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with it?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm really not sure, but it's not cool as it used to be, and the kids are always in the thing. The door's always opening and closing all the time.
How many kids do you have?
I have five.
Five kids? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of kids, boy. They're opening all the time, I bet, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah, and it's just, so it's time to get into a new refrigerator, I guess.
All right. Terrific.
You know, we got a You know, our kitchen was just remodeled, and it's time to get a new refrigerator. And
oh, your kitchen just got remodeled, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of color scheme did your wife use on that kitchen?
Oh, it's like a beige, and she's got some stone in there. It came out really nice.
Oh, nice.
Really nice.
Perfect.
So we're just out, you know, trying to get some prices today and figure out where we're going with refrigerators.
Any particular color you're looking for?
Well, probably something like in this color family. I sort of like that color. The stainless looks really nice.
I see. All right.
Yeah.
Now, how many other refrigerator you have now? Any features about it that you like? Ice maker?
It's got a little thing in the ice maker inside, uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about,
right.
Where the ice cubes automatically make, and
okay.
It's just an average refrigerator other than that.
I see.
I guess it's done okay.
Uh-huh. How big is refrigerator? Is a freezer on top, double door?
It's, the freezer's up on the top, uh-huh. The freezer's up on the top, it's that kind. I bought it about 10 years ago.
Any preferences on the kind of refrigerator you like with the doors? On top or the side-by-side?
I know. My wife's talked about this kind with the doors on the side.
Uh-huh.
She said it might be good for the kids.
Mm. You know? Now, what ages are your kids, by the way, Bob?
Well, they're from 5 and the oldest is 14.
Okay, so all still in school. A lot of school lunches and things along those lines.
Oh, yeah. Man, you got kids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, then you know what it's like.
Oh,
yeah, you bet. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, let me tell you about this refrigerator, Bob. It's got a lot of interesting features, and these features, frankly, are designed to save you a lot of time and a lot of money.
Hold your thought, Mr. Salesperson. What's he doing so far? Is he asking a lot of questions? Building rapport kind of stuff, right? Is it important to do that?
Yes.
Did you hear the last thing that he said was this refrigerator could save you a lot of what in what?
Time and money.
If you don't have that in your vocabulary as a salesperson within a world of ethic, then you can't sell. People are going to be motivated by things that are going to save them time and money. We're all like that. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way people are. So you need to make sure that that's in your repertoire of commentary. I'm sorry, Keith, go ahead.
This particular refrigerator here has a lot of different features that are designed to save you a lot of time and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a second to show you some of them. Now, the first feature this has is this refrigerator here has extra sealant along the sides of it. And what's that designed to do is keep the motor in the running as efficiently as possible. That way it keeps the temperature as cool as possible. Now, look, you got all them kids opening and shutting the doors all the time. I know how that can be. So the more we can keep the cooling in there, then the less the electricity is going to be used. And what that means, Bob, lower electric bills for you. All the money that you shell out every month for the electric bill, hopefully we can help save you some money with this particular
product.
Oh, boy,
yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, my wife would like that. I'd like that, too, yeah.
And the second feature on is it's got 20 cubic feet. That's one of the biggest refrigerators that are made on the market, Bob. And what that means is all those kids, when you got to make all those lunches the night before and store them in there, now you don't have to worry about cramming everything in there and things falling and spilling because then you're wasting time mopping things up that you spilled. Yeah, you got plenty of room. You put it in there and you're not wasting time anymore mopping up the kitchen floor after all the spills. And the last feature that this thing has is going to save you a lot of time and money, Bob. It also has an ice maker just like the one that you have. The difference between this one and the ice maker that you have is this one holds twice the ice capacity that yours holds. And what that means is for your kids, as many times they're going to put the cup on the door and get the ice out, that means no filling ice trays. That means more efficient. It has to run less because it can make more ice at once. So it's going to save you a lot of money on your electric bill. It's also going to save you a lot of time from having to spill ice trays when you have to fill up ice trays and put them in there and you're spilling water and mopping up. So it's designed to save you a lot of time, a lot of money. It matches the color scheme that you have, and the best part, Bob, it has a 10-year warranty on it. And all we need is your endorsement right here.
He asked me for the sale, didn't he? Did you see that? How did he do? Great job. Give him a round of applause, huh? Then what he did was connected the dots. What he did was clearly show me how I'm going to benefit from having that ice maker. Did he do that or not? Too many people that sell refrigerators talk about the ice maker, they forget to connect the dots for people. In the auto repair business, the auto service business, there's a perception that the customers know how they're going to benefit. It's the furthest from the truth. We're going to do, can we do one more, not a role play, but sort of like a poking at one another here? Watch, this is throughout our industry. One of the things that we have at Elite Auto Repair is we have certified technicians. Do you hear him? Huh. Whoop-dee-doo. So you have certified technicians. Whoop-dee-doo. Since you know nothing about the auto service industry, you're the caller from San Diego County. What does that mean to you, certified technicians?
Well, it means your technicians obviously pass some sort of skill level to have some certification that says they meet certain standards.
Whoop-dee-doo. Isn't he a lucky guy? Isn't he really a blessed guy? Now he's going to be able to tell his wife, you know, I'm going to go to Elite Auto Repair because they have certified technicians. And Kelly's going to look at him and go, great, honey. What does that mean? And he's going to go, I don't know, but they have certified technicians. Do you understand what we're talking about?
I had that conversation.
Pardon me? You have, huh? So what great salespeople do is they connect the dots, don't they? So we got some fill in the blanks here. We're going to make you guys work for the next 5 minutes. You need to help me out here. The first one on the fill in the blanks. Now remember, product, feature, benefit. Product, feature, benefit. Product, feature, benefit. People don't want to buy product. They don't want to buy feature. They want the benefit. Look at the first one under quality features. It says written estimates. Help me, help me, help me, help me. How does a caller do Elite Auto Repair? We offer written, hint, 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 written estimates. How does he win? That's a feature of our company, written estimates. How does he win? How does he benefit? Yes, ma'am. Dorothy?
Exactly what it's going to cost him, what he's getting for his money.
He knows exactly what it's going to cost him. Exactly what it's going to cost him. So it's important that you don't tell a customer that you have written estimates. What's important is you tell a customer, Keith, you know, I'm proud to tell you that we also have written estimates. That means what you're going to get from us is not just us telling you what needs to be done. You're going to get it in writing, Keith.
And I guess that'll give me peace of mind, won't it?
What do you think? You think that'll give him peace of mind? What do you think? Yes or no? So you need to connect the dots. You need to let the customer know how he's going to or she's going to win by having a written estimate. Too many shop owners say we got written estimates and customers, so what? What does that mean to me? You have to paint the pictures. Look at the next one, certified technicians. Help me, folks. How does the customer win with the fact that I have certified technicians at Elite Auto Repair? Mike? And now take it to the next step, Mike. Now listen, Mike's going to do a great job, not a good job here. So since you've been trained to work on that kind of vehicle,
it ensures we get the job done right the first time.
Voila! And Mike, what that's going to do for my customer is save him
time.
What and what?
Time and money.
Time and money! So now all that you need to do is put that into a sentence structure. You know, I'm proud to say, Keith, that we have certified technicians. And what that frankly means is that we'll be able to do the job right the first time for you. Bottom line, what that's going to do is save you time and it's going to save you money. Do you see what we're doing here? We're putting the focus on the benefit. The benefit, the benefit,
yes.
The benefit,
and
the benefit.
It's important to do that. You know, my sales closing went up tremendously when I went ahead and made what I always thought was an obvious statement. Well, you know, we have certified technicians. That means we're going to get it done right the first time. I never realized to make the additional statement, that means it's going to save you time and save you money. And it's amazing when you make that connection for the customer, how your sales closing ratios will just go up. Because for some reason, they don't make that connection. You have to speak it to them, then they make that connection.
Hey, look at the next one. Great comment, Keith. Written warranties. How does a customer benefit from my offering written warranties at Elite Auto Repair?
They will know how long they will be saved.
Well, yeah, you're right, but now I'm gonna poke at you guys and make you think out loud on this. How does the customer benefit? Hint, hint, written warranties. Peace of mind. Yeah, but you need to connect more dots for the customer. How does he benefit? Dave?
Well, if you're in another city and you have a problem, you get to take care of it.
Do you agree with him? Right. So it's important to convey that to the caller, isn't it? You know, Keith, one of the things that I'm thrilled to tell you is that we have written warranties here at Elite Auto Repair. And what that means is certainly when we're done with any repair, you can depend on the fact that what I tell you we'll do, we'll do. You know, if grace the good Lord, if I'm not here next year, I have a heart attack or whatever, and if I'm gone, you have that document with you that's going to give you the peace of mind of knowing that you can bring it back to this service center, and anyone here or nationwide or whatever it is will stand behind it for you and take care of any problems that you'd have. Scary how well it works. The next one that we see on there is state-of-the-art equipment. And that's much like technicians. You know, Tom, we have state-of-the-art equipment. And what that means is we're going to be able to diagnose your car right the first time. Bottom line, Tom, what we're looking to do is save you time and money. And you are interested in saving time and money, aren't you? Well, of course I am. Well, if that's the case, then we only have one decision left to make. Would you like to bring it in now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you? And you go back and ask for the business again. We'll move along here so we can break for lunch in the next couple minutes. Convenience features. If we don't, we're going to get in trouble. It says we can do it now. How does the customer benefit if you could do it now? How does the customer benefit? Keith, I can get you in now, or would 2 o'clock be better for you? How does he benefit?
He doesn't have to plan
on it. Doesn't have to plan on it. How else does the customer benefit?
Puts finality to their problems.
Puts finality. People need finality to problems. Look, doctor, when a patient calls you, they're not calling you because they love you. They're calling you because they hurt. You know that as well as I do. If there's one thing that every patient wants, it's finality. not in a grand way, by the way, but in the short term. They want to get the illness behind them. You can't argue that point. They need that finality. So when they pick up the phone and call you, what they're saying is, I hurt, I want to get this behind me. If you say, bring it in now, what you're doing is putting the finality to it. You're saying, okay, let's move on. Let's get your life back in gear and get your auto service problems behind you. So bring it in now. Visa, MasterCard, financing. How does a customer benefit? Yes, it's options. Keith, do you have a moment?
Yes.
I got an option over here. Would you like to buy it?
What is it?
It's an option. Don't ask any more stupid questions.
I don't see the value of it.
Well, it's an option. So no. What does he need in addition to my saying options? We accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Yes, it's options. Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, that's what I'm going to offer him is options. How does he benefit, hint, hint, benefit from the fact that our company, our service station, our general repair garage, how does he benefit with the fact that we accept Visa? How does he benefit? Jack?
Now you can fit it into your budget before it should go.
Yeah. Now you can fit it into your budget. Now you can go ahead and afford to fix it right the first time. How else does he benefit?
He doesn't have to pay for it right
now. Doesn't have to shell out the money right now. How else does he benefit? Doesn't have to take the time to go down to the bank. So what we're doing with this exercise is prodding you. I know that you know that by now. We're making you think out of the box. We're making you think the way that your competition doesn't think. Your competition is busy out there going, we got certified technicians. Hey, Keith, listen to me. You need to deal with us. We got state-of-the-art technicians. That's what we have. We have state-of-the-art equipment. That's what we have. We have certified technicians. We have Visa, MasterCard. All that I'm doing is blowing this guy over with all of these features. He doesn't want a feature. What he wants is the benefit that he's going to get from those features. It's my responsibility as a salesperson to let him know how he's going to benefit from purchasing that product or service. Yes, sir, did I see a hand in the back? Or
is the customer going to think if you're bringing up MasterCard, Visa, and whatever, that you're only interested in the money, is that what you do the first time calling?
No, ma'am. What we're trying to do, and your comment's a great comment, what we're doing here, Allie, is just trying to get everyone here, all of you, to understand that every feature of your company, no matter what it is, has a benefit. And if you don't understand what the benefits are, you shouldn't be mentioning the feature to the customer. That's what we're suggesting. So you might have a guy that says, and Allie, to answer your question in greater detail, you might have a caller that says, well, I really can't bring it in right now because I'm in a cash crunch. I don't get paid to the end of the month. And then at that point, that pulls the trigger in my mind to, well, you know, Keith, I'm thrilled to tell you that we accept Visa, MasterCard, and we have financing on 90 days, same as cash. But again, what we're doing is we're expressing the benefit to him or her of those different features. Y'all understand it? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, let's get to the bottom of this page. Extended hours. How does the customer benefit?
Flexible to their hours.
Flexible to their hours, absolutely. They don't have to take off of work and lose money, correct? Or lose time away from their family because you have extended hours. You're open earlier, you're open late, or you're open on the weekends. So it's important that you just don't tell a customer that you have extended hours, but you remind them as to how they could benefit because of those hours. We're back to page 5, step number 6. This is where over 80% of all the sales are lost, is when people just don't ask for the business. So it says the only way you can ask for the business is by having a customer that is open or receptive to our offer. Now there's a couple things that I'm going to mention here. I'm going to take just a few minutes of your time because it's important. One of the things that I know that I had mentioned earlier was that we're going to spend a lot of time giving you reasoning rather than just telling you this is what you need to do. Let me tell you what this means to say you have to have a customer that is open or receptive to your offer. Every time you utter the word no, you're rejecting. Anytime you ever utter the word yes or any kind of an agreement, you are becoming a more receptive individual. We're going to cover this in much greater detail tomorrow, but it's important that you understand that every time you give a customer an opportunity to agree with you, what you do is you set the platform for the final sale. Not sometimes, every single time. So one of the values of asking customers questions is it gives them the opportunity to agree with you. Now, the person that first discovered that was born approximately, if memory serves me right, 340 years before Christ. His name was Socrates. And what Socrates realized is anytime in a Senate, the Greek Senate, that he could get another senator to agree with him on any minor issue, no matter what it was, that senator had a greater propensity to agree with him on larger issues. Now, I'm going to tell you what Socrates never did tell people, because at that point, from my point of view, they really never realized it. And it's a phenomena of human nature that you have to understand in sales. It's called the law of consistency. I'll make you a promise. The people that were Democrats last year will have a propensity to be Democrats this year. Sorry. People that were Republicans last year will more than likely be Republicans and vote Republican this year. That's called life. People that drove down Elm Street and made a right on 3rd Street to go to work yesterday will more than likely do the same thing the following day. People that believed in a certain religious belief last week will more than likely believe it in the following week. And there's a term that psychologists and psychiatrists use to describe that. It's called the law of consistency. Humans as a species have a propensity to be consistent with themselves. Forget other people. With themselves. Whatever they did yesterday, they'll do again tomorrow. The reason that they have that propensity is because if you do something differently day two than you did day one, what you're really telling yourself is what you did day one really wasn't the right thing to do. Do you understand what I'm suggesting? That's why you have to understand that anytime you could give a customer an opportunity to agree with you, what you're really doing is setting something into motion that's called the law of consistency. When they say, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I could see that oil leak. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I heard you guys do great work. Every time they do that, they're building a foundation of consistency. And when you ultimately ask them for the sale, they're going to say yes. Believe me, I don't fib to people. I'm telling you the truth. A great example, not a good example, is during the Korean War, the Koreans had a lot of attributes, a lot of skill, and one of the things that they were able to do is interrogate. They were very persuasive people, and they would capture American POWs, they would sit them down, and they would say, this is what we want you to do. We want you to write out on this piece of paper that what you're doing here is wrong. What you're doing here as an American soldier is wrong. What you're doing is killing our children and killing our babies. And I want you to write that out on a piece of paper. And you can imagine, with the exception of a few words that we would never use in this environment, you can imagine what he told those interrogators, those propagandists, can't you? No way, and then a few expletives, right? Name, rank, and serial number, and get out of my face kind of stuff. So they knew that in order to get him to do what they needed to do, they needed to follow a different path. And if it's okay with you, Keith, we're going to take about 2 minutes of your time, and I'm going to share a page out of history with you. I'll show you what they did that to me was remarkable. And you know what? It worked for them. Because what they really understood was the law of consistent behavior in a human species. Keith is a POW. He's in Korea. He's been in jail for the past 6 months. And what we want him to do is write down on a piece of paper for the purposes of propaganda that Americans should not be in Korea. Because what they're really doing is taking the lives of the children and the women. And this is how it unfolded. This person would walk into his cell, and this is the way the dialogue goes. Keith, the reason that I wanted to speak with you is I've never had the chance of meeting you in the past. And there's some things that are important that you need to know. First of all, I would like you to know that I know quite a bit about you. I know that you're married. I know that your wife's name is Kelly. I also know that you live in Southern California. You live in Carlsbad, California. I know that you have 3 daughters. I know one of them is no taller than this cot here. I know that you have a dog. As a matter of fact, I know that you have a cat. I know what schools your children go to. I know what you did for a living back there when you were in the States. And you know, I have to tell you, everything that I've learned about you, you're really a remarkable man. Now let me tell you why I'm sharing these thoughts with you. is because when I first looked at your file, I was awed at how much you and I have alike. You see, I have three daughters here too in Korea. And I work really hard at what I do, just like you did when you were in the States. And I'm approximately the same age as you. That's why it's going to be so difficult for me to tell you what I have to tell you. You're going to die Tuesday morning. I'm sorry. But you're going to be executed. I could send a memo, or if you would like to draft a memo to your family, I'd be more than happy to have it delivered for you. You know, the last thing in the world that I would want to do is say anything that would haunt me or haunt you. So let me just say this. I can't make you any promises, but I will tell you this. Korea is not a perfect country. And from what I've learned about you and your country, I know that you have some weaknesses too, just like we do. So let me ask you, do you have crime in America like we have here in Korea?
Yeah.
You do? Do you have some politicians that are doing things maybe that they shouldn't be doing? I know that we have them here in Korea. What about you?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. No promises. If you take this piece of paper and just write down that you have some crime in America and some politicians that aren't quite as honest as they should be, I can't make any promises. But I'm guessing that you'd like to see your family again. So what I'll do is I'll take this to my superior and I'll do everything in my power to get your execution stayed.
That's all I have to write?
Nothing more. They knew exactly what they were doing to that man. They understood this law of consistency. And then you know where the rest of the story goes, I'm sure. 30 days later, they're back in front of him again. Keith, the reason that I wanted to speak with you is, and I'm going to do a fast forward here now because we got lots of stuff to cover. Keith, the reason that I wanted to speak with you is, you know what happened last time we got together, and I was blessed in the fact that I was able to get your execution postponed. I don't know if you've heard through your grapevine, and I'm sure you have one in prison here, but I'm being transferred. I'm going to a different division, and I'll be gone. Unfortunately, as much as I've tried, I was able to delay your execution, but I wasn't able to get you any kind of a stay of execution. I just saw the roster, and I wanted to let you know that you're slated to die. I know the last time we got together, we were talking about your country and my country and how they're not perfect countries, neither of the two. And I'm sure you'll agree there's not a perfect country anywhere on this earth. And we talked about the politicians that we have problems with in Korea and in America, and we talked about some of the crime. And I'm just frankly looking for a way to give you an opportunity to meet your family again. So let me ask you this. Here in Korea, we do have problems with drug abuse. We really do. And we have some racism problems too. Do you have racism problems in America?
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't help but read an article not long ago that you have some problems too with drug addiction in America. Is that safe to say?
Yes, it is.
I'll tell you what. Before I'm transferred out, if you write that down, it probably won't meet the peer review. It probably won't work. But if you write down that America is not a perfect country and you have some addiction problems, and I'll do what I can do to get you a stay before I'm transferred. And you know what he did? Wrote him down. Now, you know exactly what they're doing to him, don't you? They're starting him down this path, this journey. And you know when they met with him the next time, that list got longer and longer and longer. And you know what it ultimately said within 1 year? You know what it said? You know what they had this man writing down? That they shouldn't be in Korea killing the children and killing the women. It's called the law of consistency. So the thing that you have to understand is never ask a customer for a sale until they're ready and receptive to buy from you. And the way that you get from here to there is by building a relationship with them and understanding that you have to get some kind of minor agreements with them. Anytime you could get a customer to agree with you on anything, they're going to become more receptive to you.
This program is continued on the next audio file in this series.